I want to speak to you tonight about a message from heaven, a message from heaven. Here we find that in this Luke chapter 2, we find the story of the shepherds. And the Bible says, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Now, shepherds, you ask yourself this question, why would all this take place with the shepherds? Why wouldn't it go to the scribes and the Pharisees? Why wouldn't he go to the King of England? I mean, yeah, King of England. King of Israel. And I can see what kind of message this is going to be, buddy. You all hang in there, all right? But anyway, no, the truth of the matter is, you know, you think to yourself, well, we can go back to Matthew, and we saw this morning how that when the wise men came there to town, they acted like they didn't even know what was going on. However, they knew all the scriptures about what was going on. And they knew that Christ was supposed to be born just 6 miles down the road. Amen? And unbelievable. But they didn't even care enough to go down there and to check it out. And so I can see what God, he knew their hearts. They weren't interested in it. But God is interested in everybody. Amen? And I think that's another reason why he went to the shepherds. Because shepherds are lowly people. I mean, they're not the most educated people in the world. They're not the wealthiest people in the world and all that, although some of them are, you know what I mean? But the point I'm trying to say is simply this, that God wants to let everybody know that, you know, he cares about everybody. Amen? Not only that, but shepherds are people that are trustworthy. You know, it says right here, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Now, they were concerned about the flock. You know, they were not only industrious people, but they were people that, you know, would look out for things. You could trust them with this. They were out there keeping their sheep. Now, what were they keeping them from? Well, first off, thieves. You know, thieves that would come in and break in and try to steal some of the sheep and things like that. But they'd have to fight them off and all that kind of stuff. But not only that, but there was beasts that were out there. I mean, there was lions and there was bears and things like that that would come and try to take some of the sheep and have them for dinner and that type of thing. Well, they would protect them. They would fight against them and all that. So why shepherds? Well, not only that, but I got to thinking about this a little bit, and I said, you know, God spoke to Abraham, and Abraham was a shepherd, amen. He was taking care of sheep, things like that. Moses was taking care of sheep for 40 years out there in the wilderness and everything. And also David, when he was called of God, he was to fight Goliath and all that. What was he doing? He was back keeping sheep and taking care of the sheep. How did he know that he could defeat Goliath? He knew that he could defeat Goliath because of the fact that he had already killed a bear and had already killed a lion. They were trying to steal some sheep from him, he said that he took them right out of the mouths of the lion and out of the mouth of the bear. So God was making clear to him that he could do this and that have no fear in going to, you know, to fight against this Philistine, you know, that was degrading the army of God and all the rest. Well, why shepherds? I think because of the fact that these shepherds were men that were out there, and they were men that were willing to listen and to hear what was going on. The second thing I want you to see is the angel's message. Here in verses 9 through 14, we see here that the Bible says, "And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were so afraid." You know, just how God did this. He only allowed one of them to be seen by these men. I guess if all of a sudden this great mass of angels were up in the air, these guys would have a heart attack or something, you know. But he had to kind of, you know, ease into this thing a little bit. And, you know, can you imagine just being out there in the wilderness all alone? And you're keeping watch over your sheep or something like that. Might have a little campfire going or whatever and that type of thing. And then all of a sudden, here's this real bright light. And you look up in the air and there's this guy hovering over top of you. You know what I mean? That would be a little bit of frightening and all the rest. But the Bible does say, "And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were so sore afraid." Yeah, they were afraid. Well, what did the angel say to them? Well, first thing the angel said here is verse 10. He said, "Fear not, fear not." Let me tell you something. When you're dealing with God, don't fear God. You know, we ought to have, as far as going out and just deliberately sinning against God, you ought to fear God in that aspect. Amen. But any Christian, anybody that believes in God, trusts in God, has asked Christ to come into their heart and life and be their Savior and trusting in the shed blood to wash away their sins and things like that. That kind of a Christian, that kind of a belief, we don't need to fear God. We need to love God. You know, we don't need to run from God. We don't need to hide from God. Adam and Eve, after they committed sin, they went and hid from God. You know, we have a God that loves us. We have a God that's willing to forgive, that went to the cross and paid for those sins. And the Bible says if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, God does not want anything between us and Him. Amen? He doesn't want our sin between us. He doesn't want anything there that He would have to. Look what He says here. He not only says, "Fear not," but He says, "I bring you good tidings of great joy." That tidings is a message. It's what you need to hear. Great tidings, you know, good tidings, you know. There's a child being born to us. And that child is the Christ child. This is what He's saying here. He's saying that there's tidings. "I bring you good tidings of great joy." Look what it says. "Which shall be to all people." Folks, let me tell you something. This is not just for the Jews. Amen? Christ didn't come just to save the Jews. He came to save the whole world. Whosoever, that's what the Bible says, "whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You don't have to be a Jew. You don't have to be born of Abraham, a seed of Abraham, and all that kind of thing. No, it doesn't matter. Gentile or Jew, it doesn't matter. The Bible tells us that He's for all people, everyone can get saved. The blood is sufficient. The blood of Jesus Christ is sufficient to wash away all the sins of all those in the world if we just go ahead and trust Him as our personal Savior, amen, and be born again. The Bible tells us this. It says here in verse 11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David." Now, David, you know, the city of David, we know that is Bethlehem. And this is what he's saying here. "For unto you this day is born this day in the city of David, which is Christ the Lord." A Savior. You know, there's a Savior that's being born into this world this day. This is what he's talking about. He's talking about the Christ child, which is Christ the Lord. Now, what does Christ mean? It means the anointed one, but it means the Messiah. You see, He's the one that was supposed to come and save not only Israel, but also the whole world. He is our Savior. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." You know, those are good tidings. Those are great tidings. You know, I look back over my life. I'm 70, going on 71. And I can look back over my life. I look back when I was in the military and the things I got into, the things I was involved with. I was on a ship and we went all over. But before that, I was a teenager. And I was running around getting into all kinds of trouble, doing things that I ought not to be doing and all that. And folks, let me tell you something. I can look back and I know my sins. I know the things. And those are the things I remember. What about the things I forgot? Amen? And all that. But let me tell you something. God doesn't have a list of those things. Amen? I praise God for that. Why? Because they all have been placed under the blood of Christ, and they have all been washed away. I have a Savior. And this is what the Bible said. Listen, I don't care who you are. The Bible says, for unto you, you is born this day. I know that I was born and raised in a religion that said that Christ died for the sins of the world. And I always kind of thought to myself, well, yeah, that's true. He died for the sins of the world. But this is what I got to do in order for my sins to be washed away. I had to do penance, and I had to do this, do that, and do the other thing and all that. But it's not true. The truth is, from the Bible, says that God has washed away all our sins if we trusted Him as our Savior. The Bible says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. You know that word Savior right there is someone that saves us. You know, we can think of firemen that breaks into the house and we're sound asleep, but the basement's all on fire or the roof's all on fire or something, and somebody all of a sudden crashes into the house and they're carrying us out and all that, all the smoke and everything, and we don't even see the right way and stuff like that, but he's carrying us out, you know, and he gets us out on the front lawn and we can see the house in flames and all that, and realizing in just a few seconds ago, you know, I was inside that. And if he hadn't have brought me out, I'd be burned up right now. I'd be dead, you know, because of the flames and all that. But let me tell you something, folks. The truth is that, yes, that saves our body. But, you know, you might have a doctor that operates on you and the appendix were about ready to burst or something of that nature. Or maybe you had cancer or something and they operated. And now you're cancer-free or whatever. I don't know. But the point I'm trying to say is this. All of us look at those people and say, boy, if it wasn't for that fella over there, and if it wasn't for that fireman there, if it wasn't for that policeman, if it wasn't for this, if it wasn't for that, you know, I'd be dead right now. He saved my life. I have a Savior. Well, no, let me tell you something. We have a Savior that can give us eternal life. Amen. Not just save us in this life that we're enjoying here on this earth right now, but also for eternity, saved for eternity in a place called heaven. He said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You know, it's amazing, but you ask the question, how do we know the way? And he answered that question by saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now that's Jesus speaking. Amen. You know, he's our Savior, and we need to look to him. He was born that day into this world. That doesn't mean that that's when Jesus started, because Jesus always was. The Son of God was always here with the Father. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ created all things. Amen? What a wonderful thing to know that Savior was before. In fact, if you go to, what is it, 1 Peter, it talks about that in the first chapter. I think it's verse 18, 19, something like that. It says that before the foundations of the world, it was already preordained that Jesus Christ would have to come and die on the cross. God had a plan because God knew man was going to sin against him. Man could not keep from breaking the law. Folks, let me tell you something. We're sinners, and that's all there is to it. We need to admit it. We need to understand it, that we are sinful people, and we need to have a Savior. I remember one time I was witnessing to a lady, and we were out. Boy, I tell you, you talk about a cold day. It was really cold that day. We were in a trailer park, and we were out, me and another guy, and we were knocking on doors, and this lady invited us in, you know, and we told them what church we were from and everything, and invited her to come and all that kind of stuff, and she said, okay, you know, I might do that. And I asked her, I said, are you saved? You're going to heaven when you die. And she said, well, I don't know. I do the best I can and all this kind of stuff, you know. Well, everybody knows, anybody that knows anything about the Bible, the best you can is not enough, amen? Because somewhere along the line, we do sin. And how are we going to get rid of that sin in order for us to go to heaven? Well, anyway, I started witnessing to her. I said, you know, well, the Bible says that we've all sinned. And she said, no, I never have. And I said, well, the Bible does, you know, man, I was kind of taken back because I didn't know how to handle that, you know what I mean? But I said, no, the Bible says that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, you see. And, you know, so it says that there's none righteous, no, not one. And she got mad at me, and she turned around and said, listen, mister, she said, I've never been unfaithful to my husband. I said, well, that's only one of the Ten Commandments. I said, did you ever disobey your parents? And she said, well, when I was a child, yeah, I guess so. And I said, well, you know, that's sin. You know, because the Bible tells us that we're to honor our mothers and our fathers. And in the same Ten Commandments. I've never murdered anybody, as far as I know. But anyway, you know, it's a funny thing. There was a couple of guys missing off the ship one time. No, never mind. I don't know about that. I don't remember. But anyway, all right, I'll keep my mouth shut then. But anyway, no. The truth of the matter is, we do. We are sinners. And we need to be cleansed of that sin. And God has given us a Savior. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. I love that. Amen. Now, not only that, but the angels also told us how to find him. Look what it says. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in the manger. Well, then it said, and suddenly there was with that angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. You know, God has a goodwill towards us. A lot of times we think that God is something like an ogre up in heaven there that's got a big club, and he's just waiting for us to do something wrong so he can, you know, crack it over us, you know what I mean, or really let us have it. But, you know, that's not what it's all about. We have a loving God. Amen? We have a God that loves us so much. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's what the Bible says. So while old Tom Campbell was out there doing his thing, you know what I'm saying? God still loved me enough to send two men by my house to tell me that he loves me and that he sent his son to die on a cross that I might have eternal life. And boy, I tell you right now, when I heard that night, I trusted Christ as my Savior, and I asked him to come into my heart and my life, forgive me of my sins, washing them away with his precious blood, and being my Savior. And I had, you know, that's what the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You have to personally ask him to come into your heart and life. I really believe that. Well, we see the third thing real quick is an exercise of faith. You say, what are you talking about? Well, any time that God gives you a message, he also wants you to do something with that message. Amen? If you look at James tells us here that faith without works is dead. And it really is when you stop and think about it. You can know all you want about, you know, operating on somebody and saving them or whatever, but if you never did it, then what good is it? You know what I mean? You got to get out there and do these things. Amen? And, you know, you can talk about building a house or whatever, but if you don't get out there and put some boards together and amen and do whatever needs to be done in order to get that house completed, then it'll never be done. Amen, Charlie? And so, anyway, I understand you finally got the toilet set. Is that right? Oh, well, praise the Lord. Amen. I know your new wife's really happy about that. But anyway, you know, it's really bad when you give her a $5 bucket and then she ends up knocking the thing over or whatever, you know. But I'm letting out family secrets now. I better be quiet. But anyway, now, this exercise of faith. You know, God, when we hear something from God, then he wants us to move on it. He wants us to do something with it. Amen? And the angels now just came and told them that a Savior was born. He also told them where he was born, in the city of David. He told them that that's Bethlehem. And then he told them how to find him. He said that they're going to be in a stable. Now, it doesn't say anything about a stable, but look what it says here. And this is a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And so that's where they're going to be. All they have to do is run around town, look at everybody's, where they keep the animals and everything else. And there's a manger in there because that's where they put the hay and stuff for the animals to eat and everything. So, and lo and behold, they did that. Well, the Bible says in verse 15, look what it says. It says, "And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them to heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." Do you notice there's nothing in there about a discussion, you know, where they're saying, well, what do you think? Do you think we ought to go on down there? Who's going to take care of the sheep while we're gone and this, that, and the other thing? Somebody stay here or whatever. I don't know whether I want to go down there, you know, and blah, 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 and all this kind of stuff. You know, there's no big talk about it and things like that. No, right off the bat, I mean, he says this. He says, after angels are gone up to heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem. Let us now go, you see. Let's not put this thing off. Let's go down right now. The word's been given to us. Folks, let me tell you something. The day of salvation is right now. Amen. Now is the time to trust Christ as your Savior. Don't ever try to put that off. When God speaks to your heart about it, don't put it off. Don't wait. The next thing you know, the devil will get a hold of that and it'll take it right out of you, and you'll never do it. You'll never pray and trust Christ as your Savior. No, you need to do it right away. This is what God says here. After they've gone away, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. You see, this thing which has come to pass, this has come to pass. This has actually happened. This is what they're saying. We believe that this has actually happened. We're not going to be afraid to lead the flock and go down to town and go through the town and look for this babe in the manger, because we believe what the angel said. You see, we believe this message from heaven. Folks, let me tell you something. You can believe this book right here. Amen. You can believe what the Bible tells us. And the Bible tells us that we need to trust this Savior and all the rest. Well, they experienced this faith. They moved on it with faith. They did what they were supposed to do. Look what it says in verse 16. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. They came with haste. You know, I tell you the truth, when it's time to get saved, you don't want to put that off. You want to get out of your seat. And you know, not only that, but any time that God speaks to your heart about something, you don't want to dilly-dally around with it. If God calls you to be a Sunday school teacher, or God calls you to be a bus worker or something, one of these days we'll have buses and things. If God calls you to do this or do that, whatever he calls you to do, sing in the choir or whatever, then get up there and do it. Make haste. Do it. Answer God's call. Amen. And do the things that God wants you to do. Here the Bible tells us here in verse 17 down to 20 that they made known abroad. You know, it's one thing for a person to get saved. It's another thing for a person. This is what the Bible talks about, that we're a tree of life. You see, and it talks about being fruitful. Now, what is it, the bearing fruit? A lot of times people don't understand this, but bearing fruit is not just an apple tree growing an apple. Amen? It's an apple tree growing an apple that has the seeds in it to grow another apple tree, so that more apples could be made. You understand what I'm trying to say here? If you go back to Genesis chapter 1, it talks about the seed was within itself. Now, the Christian ought to be the same way. You see, we ought to be bearing fruit. But that fruit ought to be fruit that is bearing more fruit. And the only way we can do that is to bear fruit of Christians, and then train those Christians to be able to bring forth more fruit, to tell other people about what's going on. Look what it says, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. So they went and told everybody what the angels had said. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Now, I want you to see something here. Look at verse 19. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Now, how do you keep these things? It's very simple. It says it right there. She pondered them in their heart. In other words, she meditated on these things. You know, sometimes, like here it is, Christmas time, we ought to read this. You ought to go home and read it over. Amen? And then you ought to think about it. Because as you start thinking about it and letting God speak to your heart about it, then these things kind of get down into your heart. And that's where you ponder on these things and what the Bible says. And Mary kept all these things. She kept all these sayings. She kept what the angels told these shepherds. And then the shepherds came and told them about it, you know. And she heard that what they were saying. Verse 20 said, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Let me tell you something, folks. You'll be doing some praising God. You know, a lot of times people say, well, I don't know if I want to get to acting all crazy and goofy and stuff like that. Well, I didn't act crazy and goofy, but I can tell you right now, I was excited about being saved. I went back to work the next day, and I went ahead and told people that I had gotten saved the night before. Why? Because I was excited about it. I mean, if I had told them, if I had won some kind of big prize or something like that, I'd come back in and say, hey, I won myself a new truck, you know, and all this kind of stuff. I was the 1 millionth, whatever at the dealership, and I filled out the card and everything else, and boy, the stuff all fell down from the confetti and all that, and the balloons and everything, and they ran out and said, you're the winner of the new truck and all that. Don't you think I'd be telling people about that and about that dealership and everything else? Yeah, I think so. Well, let me tell you something. We got some better news than that, amen? We got some great news that we have a Savior in this world today. We have someone we can turn to. You say, well, it's 2,000 years later. Yeah, 2,000 years later, but Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This is what our Bible tells us. So that he's the Savior, and all you have to do is turn to him. You know, we ought to thank God for Christmas. I know that we'll be facing Easter here pretty soon, and that Christ will have to go to the cross and things like that. And we'll be talking about that and preaching about that and everything. But what a wonderful gift that God has given to us. He gave us his only begotten Son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for each one that's here tonight. And I pray that we don't take this Christmas time lightly. But dear Lord, we ponder on it, and we put this in our heart, that Jesus came and died for us, that God gave us the wonderful gift of eternal life, and that gift is in his Son, Jesus Christ. So, Father, we praise you, we glorify you. Help us now to remember this. Help us never to forget it, never to get used to it or callous towards it or anything else. But, dear Lord, help us all. Help it to be fresh in our hearts and in our minds. And dear Lord, if there's someone here tonight that has not trusted Christ as their Savior, cannot leave this place saying, I know for sure if I was to die this night that I'd be in heaven, I would go to heaven. They don't know that for sure. Then dear Lord, I pray you help them to get out of their seat, come down. Let us take a Bible and take them off to the side and show them from the Word of God how to be saved. It's very simple. You've made it simple. So Lord, we praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.